Wolfen 9 to 5. What a way to make a living.
Wolfie. Hi.
Hey, that was smooth.
We just spent 10 minutes trying to think of every song we could work the word wolf into.
That's the best we've gotten so far. We've got 6 more episodes to see how we go, I guess.
We are the bitter end and we are sorry.
Yes. First things first, sorry. Secondly, hi, I'm Tom Denny.
And I'm Todd Jordan. And we are here to continue plunging deep like a tooth into some raw red meat into the Howling franchise.
Mm-hmm. We're getting wolfy as heck, and it's probably going to be quite bad now. The first film, The Howling, that was good.
Oh my God, it was so good.
Quite possibly, we were talking about this, that was probably the best film that we have watched in all the films that we've watched doing the podcast so far.
For real. And that is good news for me and Tom having a lovely evening in together and just sitting around watching a movie and talking to each other. Not necessarily that good for the banter.
No, no. We've just watched the trailer for The Howling 2. Oh, no, sorry. Howling 2.
Yeah, they've dropped the. It's just Howling 2.
: Your sister is a werewolf?
Already coming out the gate hot, guys.
Yeah, yeah, that's...
My sister is a werewolf. I didn't even know he had a sister.
Dude, that is like the addition to the title. That is like basically putting a beer hat on your film or something like that. Or like, you know, the silly Groucho Marx fake glasses. You know, it's kind of like, it's something, hey, The Howling, that was good. But here, let me just put this little brightly coloured baseball cap with a propeller on the top. Oh, now you look clever. It's just going to be dumb.
The Howling 2 would have been enough. Like, The Howling was a successful film. The Howling 2 should have been enough to sell this film. Mm. But Tom, did you know that Howling 2, Your Sister is a Werewolf, is not the original title of the film?
Ah, what is it?
The original title of the film, according to Wikipedia, it went into production as Stirba, which is S-T-I-R-B-A. I don't know what that means.
Spanish?
Sounds exotic. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Hungarian or something. Mm-hmm. Stirba, werewolf bitch!
That sounds good. Still also doesn't sound like it's going to be a particularly high-quality film.
I don't know, man. They classed it up a bit. They went, Stirba, werewolf bitch. Yeah. Now, Christopher Lee's going to be in this one.
Yeah, we better tidy that up. Your sister's a werewolf? That's good. And then we'll be back for Howling 3, Yo Mama's So Fat.
Yeah, like there's some guy on the set that you know was pitching, what about Your Sister's a Bitch? Can we call it Your Sister's a Bitch?
I just hate women and love wolves, damn it.
Bizarre. Just the fact that, like, I don't know that much about the life of Christopher Lee, but this movie is from 1985. I feel like this is late era Lee, at least, because he kind of dropped off a bit before he came back in with The Lord of the Rings, right?
Yeah, I think this was wilderness years. Because when was, like, all, like, the classic Hammer horror era? Was
60s.
That was 60s, tailing off into the 70s. I think 80s would have been a dark time.
Yeah, he's a long way from home. I mean, yeah. I love the man. I think his performances are strong and iconic and really intense.
Mm.
I want some of that from him here. He's in the trailer.
He's in the trailer, and it looks like basically they haven't even told him it's a werewolf film, because it looks like there's a bit where it looks like he is over a coffin sharpening up something stake-esque that he is going to jab into something. So I think he's going to be I don't know, either a dark entity or a
werewolf hunter, maybe?
Yes, something like that. Other thing that's going on, the tone in this trailer, it's a fucking different beast.
So much more. We got so excited last time about how the trailer for the original Howling looked like it was going to be an urban werewolf film. In the end, the movie wasn't really quite that urban, but we didn't care. It was still really good. This one looks so urban. It looks like it's basically entirely within a nightclub.
Yes, yeah, it's got like some like new wave band.
Yeah,
like,
they're all in black suits and white ties and sunglasses inside at night.
Yeah, and like, I mean, even like the trailer, like, I think it makes some reference to something. Oh, this new wave.
It's a new wave of terror.
It's like, yeah, like it's kind of, yeah, like maybe whoever the shittest opening act was that Devo had, they are in this thing, like in a club. I want to have a look. Like, there was, I think they had like GBH was spray painted on the back of the wall. So I want to see if there's any like the gnarly punk bands. They're not gnarly at all, but they're doing a song that has the lyrics, The Howling, in it.
It's The Howling. It's like that.
Yeah. So this, now this seems, I think in the last podcast, they said that like the fact you've got this big group of werewolves, it made it a bit more like Lost Boys in that you've got this like gang of people like, hey, we've got this supernatural powers. We can do whatever the fuck we want. This looks like Lost Boys.
It absolutely does. It looks like there's lots of quite brutal werewolf changes on their way. And I get the impression from the trailer that there's one central female werewolf who's the pack leader, who I can only assume is my sister.
She's probably your sister, yeah.
She's probably Sturber.
Yes, the werewolf bitch.
Yeah. It's also interesting to note that we're watching a German box set for this first six set of these films, which is called Die Werwolf Collection. I got it on the internet. It's all legit. It was just an easy way to get the first six films in one box. And the German title of this is Das Tier, which we looked up. It means the animal. It's Das Tier 2.
Yeah, yeah. So again, another title. We will try and track the changing titles as the series progresses. The only other thing I had to say about like this trailer, like there's a fuckload of stuff going on, no idea what is happening, but there is a lot of wolfiness in the trailer. They've given a lot away.
Yeah, that's true. We saw a significant portion of the transformation, didn't we? Which
just kind of makes me feel like, you know, they just like don't give a fuck. They're just kind of like, just please, people, come and watch this film.
Just buy a ticket,
just,
please.
Just buy a ticket. My sister's a werewolf. We paid for Christopher Lee. I never thought he'd actually show up. Yeah.
I have an interesting question. What year was Michael Jackson's Thriller?
Ooh.
Because I feel like this is possibly trying to cash in on some of that, maybe.
Yeah, quite possibly. When did this come out?
1985.
Okay, we'll have to look that up.
We will.
Yeah. This is another thing. You brought that up. The werewolf transformation in Thriller, I remember being pretty good.
Well, that was directed by John Landis, you know.
Yeah. And like the prosthetics in that are really good. So it's good to have like, maybe as we go along, to see things on the Thriller scale, you know?
Yeah. I would say The Howling One is above Thriller, the transformation, with those weird bubbly faces. And
yes, yeah, there's a bit more, that's a bit more involved.
Yeah.
But some of these films may not be as good.
So, Tom, before we dive right into your sister, would you like to take a punt on the IMDb guessing game? For clarity,
yeah.
The Howling One, that movie we loved so well, IMDb, the good users of IMDb rated that a 6.6.
I think it's bad. It looks bad. Is it? I'm going to go big drop, 4.5?
Lower.
Fuck.
3.3. That is a spicy meatball.
My God, that's like a 50%.
Yeah, halved. The score halved.
Fuck me.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about watching this film now.
What does that say about you? All right, should we go in, Tom?
I'm going to eat that garbage. Yes.
See you in a bit, guys.
Okay, real talk. No fucking around. That is the worst film that we've watched so far.
Easily.
Yeah. I mean, I've disliked other films that we've watched much more than this one, but that was genuinely like the poorestly, worst made film that we have watched. It's bad, people.
Don't get me wrong. I enjoyed it very much.
It's a lot of fun as a bad film goes, but just the nosedive in quality that is reflected in that IMDb like change in scores.
Yes, 6.6 to 3.3.
I think 3.3 is generous. It is like, so me and Todd like recently, don't ask us why, watched some Hellraiser fan films on YouTube.
Because why not?
This feels like maybe just like a cut above some of those in its like in bad editing, bad storytelling, bad acting, lack of tension and drama, but it's pretty fucking funny.
The only thing that stops it being like a college student film is the fact it's got fucking Christopher Lee in it. And he does not want to be there.
He is dead behind the eyes. There's just shots of him where he's just staring off into the middle distance, where it's just like, that's just a shot that like they weren't meant to be rolling. You can just see in his eyes, he's just thinking like, where shall I have dinner tonight?
Bit of pea soup, yeah, nice.
Yeah.
And so much of the dialogue, but for a lot of the characters, just happens in voiceover. They just film their faces. It's like in Highlander 2, the Renegade version.
Yeah.
Where they were trying to change the plot but couldn't. So they made people psychic and just had them speak lines without moving their lips. It's yeah. like this.
It's a clusterfuck, people. So let's roll it. Let's go to the start at the beginning. Todd, do you want to lead us into this?
I don't know, man. I mean, I kind of do. I kind of do. I've made a lot of notes.
I've got
a pretty hefty book here. Okay, so...
Oh, it starts with
Christopher Lee, right? Lee McGee. He's there. He's dressed as a priest.
I think he's just dressed in a suit. He's just dressed as Christopher Lee dressed.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm not going to wardrobe. I wore this. I will wear it.
He's just leaning out. He is superimposed over outer space.
Yeah, like a night sky.
He's looking, he's like half transparent, as if he's a ghost, but he's not a ghost.
Yeah, there's a skeleton behind him.
Yeah.
Just
and he does this really amazing thing where he delivers this monologue, but he can't decide if he wants to look directly into the camera or slightly down underneath the camera where the cards with his lines are.
No, he's holding a book.
Yeah, but he's not reading from the book. He's holding a book. That is a prop. Because he keeps looking down at this one really specific place that is below the camera, slightly to the right and down.
Yeah.
And that is where Philippe Mora, the director of this movie, is holding up the cards going, this bit now, Christopher, this bit. I mean, and he's reading lines like, the inhabitants of Earth have been made drunk with their blood.
Just, okay. There's a lot of like generic Christopher Lee-isms in this film,
yeah.
Right?
He was just riffing.
Yeah. And I think that you commented like that, just thinking that Christopher Lee only does one take.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Christopher Lee does one take. Peter Cushing, he's your multiple takes. Some people would interpret that he is a pro. Not Christopher Lee. Yeah. No, if you're a pro, you do it once and then you're gone.
In, out. You know, it's expensive making films. Let's not fuck around. So it just starts with this, like, just, like, arbitrary bit of Christopher Lee spouting some mumbo-jumbo, and then you just cut to, like, the worst font in the world saying, Howling 2, your sister is a werewolf, and then you get a montage of spooky shit. Like, basically, pictures of, you know, gargoyles and creepy churches and some bones and a graveyard and stuff like that.
It's location footage from Transylvania. Transylvania!
Yeah.
In a Howling film!
Yeah, so, the film's, like, werewolf film started with fucking Christopher Lee and a lot of very vampire-y imagery. And then...
Well, there's some cool stuff that happens during the credits, even. So we get a credit on that says, starring Sybil Danning as Sterba.
Mm.
So straight away, I'm like, cool, I was right, Sterba is a person, presumably some kind of werewolf bitch. We also get the text... Based on the novel Howling 2. Now, I haven't... that's exciting that this book is also based on the novel by the same guy that wrote the first one. Did he really call his book The Howling 2? You know, that's not normally a convention for naming books.
Yeah, it would be Howling :
Renegade.
Renegade Wolf Bitch
Yeah.
2. No, not 2.
yeah, it's really odd. And then the last one is when the credit sequence ends, we go, like, all of the shots of Transylvania, fuck that, we're in LA.
Yeah.
And a title appears on screen and it says, Los Angeles, California, USA. We're like, okay, that's very specific. You could have just said Los Angeles. Then that fades. And then another credit appears, which says, City of the Angels. Yes, mate, we know. Also, no one says City of the Angels. Isn't it the City of Angels?
So we're off to a flying start, and this is all in like the worst kind of like faux like Renaissance kind of like it, like if you went to like a medieval themed restaurant, this is like the font that the menu would be written in.
Yeah, it's when your cousin first, not Tom's cousin specifically, when you know, you listening at home, when your cousin first joined a metal band and they did their cassette only EP that they gave out to a few friends, this is the font they used.
Yeah, Celtic Sands.
Yeah.
So then the film actually starts.
And we're at a funeral.
We're at a funeral of Karen
White.
Yes.
The heroine from the first film, played by Dee Wallace. She's in a coffin. It's open casket. Different actress. Definitely not Dee Wallace in there.
And they're just... It seems as though, like, the priest is saying, oh, it's really terrible that she was, like, shot down. Like, it's...
Do we need to remind people how the last film ended?
So the last film ended where she transforms live on television into a werewolf and then gets shot by her mate because, you know, they need to reveal the werewolves are a thing and then free her from the curse.
And everybody and saw it. Everybody saw it on live TV.
Apparently nobody saw it. Also, it's very weird, like, what, like, because at the funeral is her brother, who is one of, like, the main characters. His name is Ben, and then there is a friend of hers that we didn't see in the first film, who's another news reporter called Jenny.
Yeah.
None of them seem to have actually seen this news report. It comes out later that I don't think it ever made it to air, which directly conflicts, like, the very end of the first film. Anyway, so they're talking about that at the funeral. It's very jarring because it's not the actress from the original film in the coffin. Christopher Lee is standing at the back of the funeral. And after the funeral, he goes up to Ben, her brother, and gives her his card.
Because, you know, business card.
A business card, because he's basically trying to say something like... Mate, sister's a werewolf.
He literally says, your sister is a werewolf, at which point Tom and I start conceiving of the Howling 2 drinking game.
Yeah, we will get to the drinking game in a bit because, you know, just if you haven't seen this film and after this podcast you feel that you want to watch it, you got to play the drinking game because you're going to get fucked up. anyway, so Christopher Lee gives him this business card. He's like talking to him and he's like, Ben's like, get away from me. I've just buried my sister. Well, actually he doesn't say it with that much conviction as I just said it. He just says, go away from me. I've just buried my sister. He's really so wooden, this dude. And we find out that Christopher Lee's character is Stefan Krosko, a cult investigator.
That's what his business card
that's
says.
What he fucking says in his business card. And
then as he walks away, the funeral is being watched by two spooky characters.
Oh, yes.
An old man and like a young, sexy vixen lady who looks very goth. And they both look, and as Christopher Lee's character, Stefan Krosko, walks past, they go, Stefan.
Yeah.
And then the old man kind of stamps his feet on the ground like he was a horse or something. Certainly not like a wolf. That's not a thing that wolves do.
Yeah, stamps his feet on the ground. Will that come into any significance later in the film? No. So moving on, Jenny and Ben go and see Stefan to talk about his occult investigations. And he basically says, your sister's a werewolf, mate.
Again, second time.
Yeah. And... this is an important little scene where we should probably go to Rules Corner. Rules Corner. Okay, so Rules Corner, where we dissect the lore of the Howling series as it unfolds. Didn't really think we'd be getting lots of new rules. I thought we'd just be like, the werewolves, mate, what do you want? No, there are new rules. So apparently, she's not dead.
No, she's because, well, this kind of, this doesn't contradict the first one because Eddie the Mangler got shot by the police and he was alive in the morgue.
Because he hadn't been shot by silver bullets. She got shot by silver bullets, but they took them out of Karen during the autopsy, which kind of meant that she's not properly dead. Like her eternal soul can never be laid to rest.
Yeah, she can't get out of the coffin. She's just awake in there.
And she was buried on holy ground, which apparently...
wolves cannot abide to let one of their own lay in holy ground. So the other werewolves, that like that vixen lady and the old man, they're waiting until the cover of darkness to go back and steal Karen's body.
Yeah. So like, okay, well, that's a weird new rule. Okay, fair dues.
There's another one about the vixen whose name is Mariana.
Mariana, yeah. She is immune. And what that means is that she can't be killed by silver bullets. Instead, she can only be killed by titanium.
Much of a muchness.
Yeah, it doesn't really come into play. There's no point where someone shoots her with silver and they go, oh my God, no, she's immune. It's just kind of like they go like, oh, so she's the immune one, so we'll take this titanium knife instead of the silver knife. It completely is of no consequence. They didn't really need to come up with that. But that's another rule. I mean, that's not your standard werewolf rule. And then...
one more big rule about Sterba.
Sterba. So she is kind of like the head werewolf.
She's the head of the wolf pack, yeah.
She's apparently been alive for 10 millennia.
Yeah, she is an old woman at this point in the film.
Well, I'll say for 10 millennia. Then there's this bit of like magic that...
if it gets to the anniversary of her birth, the 10 millionth anniversary of her birth, all werewolves in the world will reveal their true form permanently, which Christopher Lee describes as being the next phase of evolution. Because he's like, mankind has slowly been turning into animals, you know, since time immemorial. If Sterba makes it to her, the 10th anniversary of her birth, then, you know, the world will be overrun with wolves and they won't be in hiding anymore.
Yeah.
This is his mission.
That is the mission. So again, that's like something a bit different with werewolves. And it kind of puts a bit of a ticking clock on...
I quite like that.
It is good, but this is a bit like in... Highlander the Source.
Okay.
You know, like, where in that there was like, there is this thing that's going to happen and everything is going to be destroyed. The world will be turned upside down. And none of the heroes act with the slightest bit of urgency. This is exactly what happens in this. They're kind of like, all, you know, like the world is going to be overrun with werewolves. And they just fucking jolly about. It's, frustrating is the word.
Yeah.
But anyway, so. That is Rules Corner. That is the new stuff that's come into play in this film. Now we should go back to the scene
that we missed just before they meet up with Christoph Lee. So there's this amazing bit where it's establishing the LA scene where we basically get everything that's in the trailer. They go to the nightclub. It's called The Slammer. Great name for a nightclub.
It's called The Slammer, but then the nightclub also has Batcave spray painted all over it.
I wonder if that's just the name of a band that are really into viral marketing.
Yeah, the only other band name I spotted was The Cramps.
I love The Cramps.
Yeah, great stuff. Got to check out Batcave. No,
so the band that are playing in the Slammer are, we found out the real band in real life, they're called Babel, B-A-B-E-L. And they're playing this amazing song.
Gets less and less amazing every time you hear it.
Yeah, let's see if we can insert a little snippet of it now.
In the pale light of the moon glow, I got a hunger that's emotional, hunger that I can't control. I'm alone now.
They're playing this song, which has got the name of the film in it. If only the pre-chorus went, "Your sister is a werewolf." And the crowd are loving it. And Mariana is there in the crowd. And she is fishing for young, horny men among the punks.
Yes.
And she comes across a young man and his mate, who is an actor slash musician that you may recognize, whose name is Jimmy fucking Nail.
Jimmy fucking Nail? Like,
what is he doing in this film?
He in there? And he... because, like, so if... Jimmy Nail is only going to be of relevance to any of, like, our, like, listeners in the UK of a certain age.
We have some international listeners. We need to explain what Jimmy Nail is.
He is like just like this Geordie, so like he's an actor from Newcastle.
Very distinct northern English Geordie voice.
Just very northern bloke who also had like a bit of a pop career.
Yeah.
And he is just...
He's
inexplicably wooden.
Yeah. He's just such... he's the kind of guy that you... I mean, all respect to Mr. Nail. I love Jimmy fucking Nail. But like... I do not expect him to wander more than 10 miles from his hometown, let alone show up in an LA nightclub with Christoph Lee.
You know the reason I left this country in the first place, didn't you? Huh? I'll tell you, in a word, Margaret bloody Thatcher, that's why.
We're getting a little bit derailed by the presence of Jimmy fucking Nail.
Yeah, fuck off, Jimmy, because you better listen to this, because Christopher Lee is in the nightclub wearing a T-shirt tucked into his jeans, wearing a red leather jacket with wrap-round white shades.
Sad!
This is the bit when you were saying, like, so do you think this was like in a kind of like a dark period for Christopher Lee? Yes. I don't think anything has gotten darker than him wearing this outfit. It is... Oh, it is. Yeah, it's sad dad.
You know how Bela Lugosi was buried in his Dracula cape?
Hmm.
Do you think that Christoph Lee may have been buried in his Howling 2 dad shades and jeans tucked into a T-shirt?
I hope not, because then they couldn't put them in a museum somewhere.
That's true. They're out there.
Yeah. Also, Halloween costume for this year, sorted.
I'm Christoph Lee at the Slammer.
Yeah.
So anyway, Mariana pulls Jimmy Nail. She
and some assorted generic 80s punk mates.
They go to this open warehouse where it's day, while back at the Slammer we repeatedly cut back and the band Babel is still playing the Howling song and it's night. But when we're in the warehouse, it's day. Try not to think about it too much. It will hurt your head. Mm. Mariana howls in the warehouse. She takes all her clothes off, howls, and like summons another werewolf. She goes a bit wolfy too. Mm. And then there's just fucking some carnage, man. So there's carnage. She bites off Jimmy Nail's hand. Someone drops like a big box on some other dude's head. You never really see any werewolf action.
No, you just get like, so the way like it kind of works is that you get little flashes of like an eye, like a werewolf's eye, and then very furry, almost gorilla-like looking hands popping out from behind corners going, rawr! And that's as much as you see of werewolves at this point. And then it's done, and that's it.
Yeah, that's when we go see Christoph Lee.
Yeah.
That's when he lays down some sick exposition bombs.
Yeah, that scene is just basically to introduce Mariana.
Yeah, and she's cool. She's a good character. I'm into Mariana.
Yeah, she's good. She doesn't actually do as much as you think. From like the way she's introduced, you think that she's going to be a bit more prominent, but she just looks badass. In like every scene she's in, she just looks like the most like vampy goth.
Yeah, I wonder if they wanted Marcia, the supposedly nymphomaniac werewolf from The Howling 1, and for whatever reason the actress wouldn't do it, they couldn't get hold of her, and so they had to create this other character, Mariana, who very much dresses the same and very much fills that same kind of niche as like a vampy seductive werewolf type.
Yeah, quite possibly, because yeah, that is another thread that is just like disappears from the end. So right now, Christopher Lee goes back to the church to go and try and put a silver stake through Karen's heart to kill her and stop her from being a werewolf.
Can I point out at this time that Christoph Lee has such theatrical respect for himself that he refuses to pronounce Karen's name as Karen. He calls her Karin throughout.
Yes.
It never stops being funny.
It is pretty funny. And like this, like, this film is basically, they've got Christopher Lee in it, and I don't know, there was some mix-up in casting or something. I think they were like, oh, great news, we got Christopher Lee for your vampire film. It's like, it's not a vampire film, it's called The Howling 2. Your sister is a werewolf, motherfucker. It's like, it's a wolf film. It's like, oh, well, he only really does vampire films, so... Do you think that you can put it in that you kill werewolves with a silver stake through the heart? Because that's basically what he goes and does. Like, he goes to Karen's tomb, opens up the coffin, she turns into a werewolf, and he
stakes her.
Oh, no, he doesn't stake her, because Ben comes in, because he's like, don't mess with my sister, she's not a werewolf. Comes in, oh, she is a werewolf. He shoots his sister with silver bullets. Nice one, mate. And then they just turn to Christopher, like him and Jenny turn to Christopher Lee and go like, we're with you to the end, mate. I'm not going to have this happen to anybody else. Any, you know, like anyone else turn out like my sister. They kill the old man.
Yeah. And he's the old man is like, he's again, they're really trying to like link little threads from The Howling One. So while the old man is dying, much like Patrick McNee, who was the psychiatrist and the leader of the colony in the first film. As Patrick McNee, they get him in this shit net, like a child's net.
Mm.
they trap him with this like little net that like barely covers half his body, and he's like pinned.
Yeah.
And he's like, end it, please, I beg you, put me out of my misery, please. But he's got these awful plastic teeth in his mouth, so he sounds like this. He's like, end it, please, I beg of you, please, end it for me, please, I can't do. It's awesome. And Christoph Lee is like, no, you will suffer in pain for all eternity.
Unless you tell me where Stirba is.
Stirba, where is Stirba? And he goes, the dark country. Sorry, he goes,
the dark country.
And Christoph Lee goes, all right, that's what I wanted to know. Stakes him. Boom, gone. Yeah. And then Ben and Jenny are like, what's the dark country?
Do you know where the fucking dark country is? It's Transylvania. Because werewolves.
Oh,
yeah.
Good God. So I guess we're going to Transylvania.
Yeah, because...
there's no montage. They don't get on a plane. They don't get on a boat.
They're just
like
there.
Crossfade.
And it's
they're
just,
there.
It's just like everything you've ever seen in Bram Stoker's Wolfman. No. No. hang on a minute.
That's not how that went.
That's not how that... Fucking roll with it. We bought the plane tickets to Transylvania. We'll just do it.
They end up, for better or worse, in Transylvania.
Yeah, so in Transylvania, and we get introduced to Stirba.
Stirba!
Mariana goes, she's travelled over there to go and meet Stirba. And
because there's going to be a big ceremony for Stirba's anniversary.
Yeah, big wolfie party, basically. And so basically she hangs out in like a werewolf boob cult. Like basically it's just... This is the point in the film where we're like, okay, this is like... They're really trying to ape what I think is like 70s Hammer horror, that kind of like... trashy, boobs akimbo, Christopher Lee, like, that's the kind of, like, thing that they're trying to capture. It's a lot, it's very trashy, and it's very dated, and much more dated than the first Howling film.
Yeah.
This film feels like it was made, like, 5 years before the first Howling film. And so, like, everything is, like, black gimp masks and leather and boobs out and skulls on the walls, and they've just kind of like, we'll just make it look a bit spooky and a bit sexy.
It's kind of, it's okay. It's like, it's okay while it's camp.
Mm.
And while you keep expecting Vince Price to pop out and be like,
yes, join my celebration.
That never happens. There is no Vince Price. It's all camp, it's all camp, it's all camp. And then like suddenly everyone's dresses get ripped off and it goes really hardcore and it crosses the line and I am not cool with it.
Yeah. There's it gets very boob heavy when you get to Transylvania. And also... you've got this wolf cult, and it is just the wolf acting that everyone is doing. Because there's not actually a lot of werewolves in this film, I'm going to say. Like, you see a lot more of people out of werewolf form than you do in werewolf form. But the people who are werewolves still act like wolves when they are, you know, like, out of transform, not transformed. Which isn't really what happened in the first film, but in this one... everyone just fucking walks around going, oh, oh, I think there's one bit where someone just goes, oh, woo.
They do.
And they're just going like, and it's just like, you just feel so bad for these poor actors just having to...
Give it a rest,
it's
guys. Yeah,
fucking tiresome. It really is.
So the boob cult start their ceremony, and Stirba is an old woman, and her minions bring out this young girl they've captured from the village.
Mm.
Stirba leans in over her and, like, sucks green light out of the girl's mouth and is then transformed into a young, sexy blonde lady in, like, a weird gimp dress thing.
Yep, that's happened, and then she's kind of like, right, I'm ready for this big whatever derpity-do
her
that's going to happen.
Birthday party,
oh,
I guess.
Yeah, her birthday party. At this point, Stefan and Ben and Jenny, they're in Transylvania. They've gone to this little town where there's a local festival going on for the full moon. You get the impression that everyone is a werewolf and that everyone is evil. Everything is a bit... I don't know. I don't think anyone really researched into, like, what, like, Transylvanian, folk culture and like is like, because it's just a bit of everything. It's a bit of the Wicker Man. There's some flamenco dancers in there. There's like maybe, you know, some Mexican Day of the Dead stuff. Like it's just like, just fucking bung it all in. That'll be fine. They go to a spooky hotel. They check into the spooky hotel.
What's their room number at the spooky hotel, Tom?
666. It's fucking, like, this is what you say. What are they doing in this film? Are they just making it up as they go along? And then the guy goes like Ben goes like, this place doesn't look like it would have six floors. And the guy just kind of shrugs and looks into the, like, directly into the camera and goes, meh. Oh, there's another really good director camera bit when when, like, they've gone and, like, picked up all these, like, werewolves at the train station.
Oh yeah,
do you remember that bit?
You're gonna have to enlighten me.
Where Mariana's, like, at the train station wearing this amazing, like, full-on leather ensemble, and, like, she's in the back of this van with a load of other, what you think are werewolves, being driven by some other werewolves, and then there's these two, like, kind of like German hikers.
Yeah.
They're just wandering along the road, and everyone's going, God, I'm really hungry. And they pull up, and these German hitchhikers go, oh, guten Tag, and they, like, jump in. They got these little skimpy little short shorts in, and they go, like, go sit in the back, mate. And they go and sit in the back, and they jump in. And they get pulled in and go,
no!
And then the driver just, like, turns to the camera straight down the barrel of the lens and just goes, schnitzel? What is going on?
That was worth, like, doing a whole camera setup for the schnitzel line. Gotta have that schnitzel line in there.
The editing in this film is fucking insane. This is the point in the film when you realise there's all these insane wipes going on. Like, you know, like, not just, like, things don't fade to black. Things don't just, like, cut from scene to scene. It's like they've got, like, an editing thing. They've got, like, ooh, star wipe. Ooh, triangle wipe. Like, it's just, you have to watch it to see, like, the editing. It's fucking garbage. The only other, like, mental edit that I really think bears talking about. So, Ben was Karen's sister. Jenny was Karen's friend. They didn't really have much of a relationship. They weren't boyfriend and girlfriend or anything like that. When they check into the hotel, they're, like, together. And they're, like, no, separate rooms. And then they instantly go into one of the rooms. And Jenny goes, oh, God, Ben, hold me. He goes and sits down, holds her, they fuck. It, like, just comes out of nowhere, and it goes from, like, little smoochy kiss to just, like, banging against the wall.
Yeah, really full on.
Yeah, really full on. And then at that point, they cut to a picture of an owl that just looks straight into the camera again and goes, ooh! It's like a fucking comedy sketch.
And then it cuts to another street scene, this time with a subtitle on the screen, totally necessary, that just says, the following afternoon... That was important to set the scene, because otherwise I would be so confused. I would think, is this a flashback? Are we flashing forward? When is this taking place?
It's the only time in the film that they have to, like, actually tell you what increment of time has passed. Oh, my God. This film is insane.
Listen, man, we're going to have to get this, like, plodding along. Otherwise, we're going to get mired up in the aroused owl and the room 666.
Yeah, I think we could move on from the aroused owl. So basically, there's a lot of fannying about.
And then Christoph Lee bumps into Mariana, that vampy girl, in the street, sees her, and he gets a local villager who is a diminutive man by the name of...
They call him, like, Fasila the Dwarf.
Right, yeah.
Basically. They just go, like, follow that dwarf. This is in the film's language.
And he's Christoph's mate, and he's like, we're going to follow her.
Yeah, he's like a werewolf killer, and they've got a bunch of other, like, people who want to hunt the werewolves. And they kind of go scope out the place, go, like, right, there's wolves in there. Oh, Fasila, he's great, though.
I'm all about him.
He is good. I actually feel that this film is so badly acted and everything was so wooden. The film is like a vacuum of personality. He is a shining light in this film, and I feel that he is deserving of an Indie Award. Yep. So the Endy Awards, it's like the bitter end. It's our version of the Oscars, where we give out an award for each film for an actor who's just really given it their all and really made the most of their part, no matter what the hand is they are dealt.
They don't have to be good. The film doesn't have to be good.
They just got to try.
They just got to try their best, damn it.
And he really does. He is giving it his all. There's an amazing bit where he goes and fights a man who is wearing a giant gold knight's helmet while holding an AK-47. He throws a knife in his chest and then runs up and twats him over the head with a mace. That's awesome. And then they run off. They get chased by werewolves. There's this bit where Stirba's got like werewolf magic, because that's another new rule. She's got magic that can hypnotize people. I think that's vampires again. And so he's got these special earplugs made out of like wax from holy candles.
Yeah.
And basically, like, while they're being chased away, Facilia gets knocked over and the earplugs just come flying out of his ears. And he goes, "Oh no, my earplugs, run away, run away, oh my God." And he's giving it all this welly. And then Ben's there going like, "Okay, but do that." And he runs off. And it's just like, having Ben next to him just really highlights what a performance he's putting in. And then he gets like magicked up by Stirba and turned into like this really creepy little demon leprechaun. He has like this really like creepy little chase with Christopher Lee. Good stuff. He is deserving of an Endy Award.
Another round of applause for Sela. Love your work, mate.
Which then brings us on to basically storming the werewolf castle.
Yeah, they go full on siege against Stirba and her minions. I feel like it's the eve of her like anniversary. It's like now or never. Jenny has been captured.
Yeah, she's been doused in blood. She's going to be sacrificed in some sort of ritual that hasn't really been explained.
They don't explain it. Don't matter.
Moving
MacGuffin.
On. A load of werewolves come out and like try and kill off some of the other werewolf hunters. There is a bit where they're walking along and a werewolf jumps out of a hole in the ground, pulls a dude in. Christopher Lee comes out, throws basically a holy hand grenade in the hole. Massive explosion.
Yeah, it's very weird, very jarring. They say it's like anointed oil. It's like holy oil, but he says something to it before he throws it, something in Latin, and then he throws it and it's just a huge explosion.
Yeah. And then we just kind of, by this point, we're really running out of steam with this film. But basically they get in there and kill all the werewolves, I guess.
They do. Yes, they don't outwit them. There's no like clever twist. They just like shoot some of them.
Yeah, like Mariana dies.
Yeah, they stab Mariana with that one special knife that is only good for her.
They rescue Jenny, and then Christopher Lee has a confrontation with Stirba, who we found out earlier in the film is his sister.
How does that make sense? Because she's 10 million years old.
Yeah. That is never explained.
I know he's no spring chicken, but...
Yeah, and what makes it extra weird is it's very heavily implied that there is an incestuous relationship going on between them. It's going, "Oh, my love. Oh, you've always loved me. You've always been drawn to me." And, like, she kind of sort of, like, vampire magics him, and he kind of gets, like, hypnotized, comes up to her, and he's like, "Oh, yes, we will be wed." And it's sort of like, hang on a minute, this is all getting a bit weird. And then he goes, "Not if I have anything to say about it." Stabs her with a knife. They catch fire and die.
Stabby, stabby.
That's basically kind of the end of it. This film is very like heavy, like knives. I thought it was silver bullet. I mean, I don't know. Silver knives? I guess silver knives. Silver knives work. But yeah, basically at the end, he just goes like, and then they catch fire. And then you just get Ben and Jenny who run into the town that is still in the middle of this festival. It never stops, this festival. There's always people dancing in the street.
Accordion music and people
having a riot all the time. They run through the middle of the street, go up to this guy's playing the violin. Ben pulls a gun, sticks it in his fucking face and says, "Which way to the airport?"
Guy tells him very politely.
Yeah.
And then he goes, "Fine, we'll go." Didn't need the gun. What's with that attitude?
Yeah. Cut to a plane landing in LA. They're back in, you know, like in Jenny's apartment.
Meanwhile, the band Babel are still playing that same song in the slammer. They've been cutting back to this throughout the film. Tom kept a tally. There's 5 times throughout the course of this 90-minute movie that they cut to this one, the same footage every time. It's quite a good song, but still.
Well, by the time you hear it the fifth time in like 87 minutes, it's starts to wear a little bit thin. Mm. But then they're just like, you know, they're just kind of like, oh, well, that was a crazy old dude, wasn't it? Like, they don't really talk, you know, there's no real kind of like, you know, like taking stock of the situation. They're just kind of like, oh, it's Halloween. And they're kind of like, oh, this is nice. You know, shame that Christopher Lee died, I guess. And then there's a knock at the door. It's Trick or Treater. It's a little boy dressed as a werewolf.
Or is he?
And they get a little bit freaked out and the werewolf goes away. And then, what then? Oh, and then they go,
who's that little boy belong to? And they go, oh, it must belong to the apartment over the corridor. And they go, no, that apartment is empty. And then Jenny goes, well, it can't be because of the little boy. Let's go and knock and invite them in for a glass of wine. You can see where this is going, right? They go up, they knock on the door, and it's answered by a weird Transylvanian priest who we saw briefly in a scene back in Transylvania. Mm. Definitely a creepy, weird guy. And he's all creepy. And he goes, no, I have no children. Mm. I never married. And he goes, will you come in for a glass of wine? And they go, some other time. And he goes, okay, yeah, that would be nice. And then he closes the door and then they leave.
And that's the end of the film.
And that's the end of the film. That was necessary, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's a very, like, it just goes out on a whimper. And then you get, like, the credits roll over just an insane montage of shots that you've already seen in the film. Now, before we get to this, I think that this is the perfect time to explain the rules of the drinking game, I feel.
Yes, go ahead, Tom.
So, it is good drinking game fodder. We've got a lot of repetition that comes up in this film that is rife for a good drinking game. So, number one, you have a drink whenever that band is on screen or you hear the howling song. That's like five drinks.
Yeah, total.
Drink any time that the title of the film, Your Sister is a Werewolf, is mentioned. That's at least twice, which is two times more than you get in most films. Drink any time a terrible screen wipe happens. There's at least like 10 of those.
Yeah, you will die.
Drink any time one of the shots from the beginning of the film with all the spooky like gargoyles and things like that is reused and just pops up arbitrarily in the film. That happens a lot as well, because as we said, the editing in this film is fucked to high heaven. And then just if you make it to the end of the film and you are not completely blotto, you will be absolutely twatted by the end of this film, because during the credits, you just get this repeated shot of Stirba pulling off her top and her boobs popping out.
It's not different shots. It's the same, like, 10-frame shot.
Yeah, the same shot comes up again and again in this montage of shots that you've already seen in the film. You have to drink every time this comes up. And how many times does it come up?
Let's count up one at a time, okay? Mm. So you at home, while you're listening, imagine that each one of these times we say boobs, okay? Yeah. And you see the shot of these boobs coming out.
Yeah.
Imagine you have to do a shot every one of those times. You ready, Tom? Because we count, we know exactly how many times it happens. Yeah. Ready? Boobs, 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 boobs. 14 times.
No, mate. Boobs. Boobs. 16.
16?
16 of them. Dead. Utterly dead.
What? Like 16 times in the end credits of just there, like, no, show me that boob shot again.
It just was like, diddle boobs, diddle boobs, diddle boobs. It's just, if the film hadn't baffled you in its, or, you know, in the main runtime, it will do in the credits.
That poor actress.
It's just like,
she was like, they were like, hey, we need you to do the shot where you rip off your dress. And she's like, oh, I don't really want to do it. Maybe, I'm assuming. She's like, oh, I don't really want to do it. And they're like, oh, come on. It's just a second and then it'll be done. And it must represent about 5% of the entire runtime of the film.
It is so exploitative. It's fucking ridiculous.
Unbelievable.
Anyway, so that is the film. Now, before we bring this on home, we need to talk about something important to a werewolf film. And that's the werewolves.
Yeah.
So let's go over to Wolves Corner.
All right, welcome to Wolves Corner. This is the sister segment to Rules Corner. We touched on this last time where we talk about the transformation scene. It's that money shot of every werewolf movie. How do they handle a person turning into a wolf? Tom, how do they handle it in this film?
Not very well.
Oh, no.
It's a real step down from the last one. I mean, not even just like talking about the transformations, but there's no consistency in what the werewolves look like from shot to shot. I think they just got a lot of gorilla costumes or like Yeti costumes.
That's not a joke. I literally think they are gorilla costumes.
Yeah, like because the way they handle it is there's a lot of close-up shots of like a werewolf's eye or like mouth, and it looks like they've just built a puppet for a werewolf's face for close-ups, which is in stark contrast to what the wolves look like when they're like out in the wild and running around and not in close-up. There's some of that bubbly skin stuff.
Yeah, they definitely try to allude to the earlier films. For example, there's a bit where Christoph Lee shows Ben, the brother of Karen from the first film, shows him the footage of her turning into a wolf and being shot, supposedly on TV, essentially the ending of the last film. Now, in the ending of the last film, she turns into this weird cute werewolf, like a kind of a Pomeranian little kind of cute dog. You feel a single tear rolls down her cheek, you feel really bad for her. When he shows this footage, it is a woman with a furry face just going
it's not good.
That is rope-a-dope, man. That is not good.
It's not good at all.
So I've said on the podcast before, I love werewolves, but I don't like it in werewolf films where people literally turn into a dog. You know, they just cut and then there's a dog there. Mm. And I also don't like it when it's just a person with a furry face, right?
You get that in spades in this film.
Yeah, it's, well, you get a lot of people with furry faces, but weirdly, they're more interesting than what you get the bulk of, which is a gorilla outfit.
Yeah, and even the gorilla outfits, they're kept in the shadows because they know how shit it looks. Yeah. So it's like I was saying before, you don't really see a lot of people as werewolves. You just see just actors acting a bit wolfy.
Yeah.
It's really subpar.
Poor show.
It was not good. Just in any sense of film, it was bad.
Now, Tom, how do you feel about the fact that the guy that directed this film, Philippe Mora, also directed the next film in the franchise, Howling 3, The Marsupials?
I mean, as much as I said, like, this is a terrible, terrible film, it was still quite a lot of fun because it is just so ridiculous. Like, it is this, like ridiculous, like, mix of, like, just being so dead, like, no one is interested. Like, it is devoid of any kind of, like, atmosphere or tension, and like everyone is phoning it in, and then you get like these weird little extras who come in and go, schnitzel, room 666, ooh, an owl, like it's fucking bizarre. So I'm looking forward to seeing what the next one is like, especially as this one is set in Australia
with werekangaroos. That is going to make Wolves Corner quite tricky.
Yeah, so this, I think, whenever we like talk, we've been talking about like, you know, like what film franchises we want to look at for doing the podcast. There's always like the prospect of one film where we're like, oh yeah, we're going to do it. The Marsupials, for me, that was the one where you said like, oh yeah, like we could do The Howling. The third one's got kangaroos. Like, done. Buy the box set. We're doing it. So, I mean, as terrible as I thought this was, I'm sure this will be, I am really excited about watching it, because then I'm just worried that like after that one it's gonna get worse, and by worse I think it's just gonna, the film's gonna get better. I don't think that like the IMDb scores are gonna go down much more. I'd be really surprised. I just feel that like they might just suddenly get quite generic.
Yeah, I mean, there will be five more films after that one. There's eight of these, don't forget.
God, so damn,
it's a long old ride. Two of the films basically have the same title. There is The Howling Reborn and The Howling Rebirth.
Oh, man. It's such a weird franchise.
Yeah.
Like, second film in, it's just like, it's a spectacular coming off of the rails.
How did this happen again? I mean, this is Highlander 2 all over again.
Yeah, but Highlander 2, they made an effort. Like, they were trying in Highlander 2. Like, there was obviously a lot of problems with it. But, like, this is just... It's just really bad filmmaking. And I just can't understand why this is the film that came out. Like, I think it came out as a cinematic release, but this has straight-to-video... written all over it because it looks cheap.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And it is, and that's not to denigrate it because, like I said, me and Tom had a lot of fun watching it, guys. And I think if you are within 10 feet of a copy of the DVD of it, watch it. By all means.
If you like watching something that is just ridiculous, then
I think, feeling if you're listening to this, maybe you do.
Yeah. Definitely don't watch it on your own. Like, because this is the kind of film that is better shared. It will be, it's funnier if you watch it with someone else, just to be, you know, just to revel in the nonsense. But, yeah, looking forward to the Marsupials, strangely.
Well, that is us done, and we hope that you will join us next week to find out what we thought of the Marsupials. As I've always said, if you are watching along with the movies, then that's awesome. But you totally don't have to. You know, if you gave The Howling 2 a go, you've had enough. Don't worry. Listen to the podcast. We'll fill you in on the rest. It's not a problem.
Then you can just pretend to all your mates down the pub that you have seen The Marsupials if it ever comes up in conversation, as it often does.
Oh, of course.
You don't want to be caught with your pants down on that, missing out on that big like corner of pop culture knowledge that everybody should have.
So don't forget, we're online and we'd love to hear from you. You can tweet us on Bitter End Pod, and you can also find us on Facebook at Bitter End Pod. We love hearing what you guys think of the sodes, as I like to call episodes, because I'm cool.
Damn you, Todd.
drop us a line. Let us know what you think. Until next time, I'm Todd Wolfie Jordan.
I am Tom Howling at the Moon Denny.
Catch you then.